This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Tonight, round two, the second debate between President Bush and Democratic challenger Senator John Kerry. The venue, Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. The debate's town hall-style format is less formal than the candidates' last meeting. They'll be able to move around the stage, and they will answer questions posed by the audience.
It's a high-stakes event for both candidates, but many analysts say the pressure on President Bush is especially acute, given the poor reviews he got for his performance in the first debate last week. NPR's Don Gagne reports from St. Louis.
Things have changed tremendously from where we were just over 1 week ago, looking ahead to that first debate in Miami. Then, John Kerry was a candidate in trouble, but after the president's halting, sometimes exasperated performance, highlighted in split-screen TV coverage, Kerry bounced back. David Rohde, a political scientist at Michigan State University, says it was a missed chance for the president.
He had the potential to put the election away in the first debate. Short of that, he had the potential to stave off any progress for Kerry and sort of keep the campaign just as it was. He failed in both of those.
The Bush campaign has responded by ratcheting up its attacks on John Kerry's record, saying his policies would, quote, paralyze America. The president's strategists brush aside new polls showing the race essentially even, saying they always expected it to be close. They also say the substance of John Kerry's comments in last week's debate provide plenty to exploit. Bush-Cheney campaign manager Ken Melman.
It's an opportunity for him to explain why the American commander-in-chief should have to pass a global test before defending our country. It's an opportunity for him to explain how a record of 11 different positions on the war in Iraq can be called consistent.
John Kerry can't ignore the charge that he's inconsistent. David Birdsell, an expert on presidential debates at Baruch College, says Kerry does have to build on last week's debate in one very significant way.
He has to be recognizably the same person each time out. He can't be noticeably more vitriolic, noticeably more passive, to implicitly rebut the Bush administration's suggestions that he is inconsistent, that he isn't reliable, that he isn't what you see.
Prior to the first event, Birdsell said the Bush campaign was hoping for a boring debate, a bland showdown that would help maintain the status quo. Tonight, he says, the president needs there to be big news, news that he dramatically improved his performance. Then there's the issue of tonight's audience, voters selected by the Gallup organization. It was hard to find purely undecided voters. These are people who say their support for the president or Senator Kerry is soft and could change. The questions have been submitted in advance to the moderator, Charles Gibson of ABC News, but the candidates have not seen them. Audience reaction is forbidden. James Copeland, a former official with the National Forensics League, predicts it's a format the president will be comfortable in.
I believe that the softer nature of the questions, the lack of follow-up questions, and the fact that Bush does better in a public forum setting, a town hall setting, and Kerry does much better in a more courtroom-like setting, will probably mean the president will get good marks in this debate tonight.
The president does do a lot of town hall meetings while campaigning, but it's also true that he does so in front of very friendly, hand-picked audiences who never ask tough questions. Kerry, meanwhile, has a reputation of being more formal, but he, too, has done many such sessions, and his events are much more likely to feature probing questions, as his potential supporters have used such sessions to size him up. Don Gagne, NPR News in St. Louis.